Like, if you go back and watch the Eagles game last year, people think like, well, you know, he's going through his progressions. He's going to his second, third, fourth. No. No. In almost every case, Brady has diagnosed what you are pre-snap. And he is making pre-snap decisions as to where he's going with the football. He always goes to the right place. I can't imagine, quite honestly, what people are watching that they would think favors the Rams, including the guy who bet $2 million on the Rams on the money line. I can't see it. I can't understand why anybody would pick the Rams. We're going to see whether road rage is going to have a perfect, I haven't even mentioned this today, but we're going to see whether road rage is going to have a perfect NFL season. I mean, a perfect NFL season. Before the year, uh-huh. We predicted the Patriots and Rams to be in the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Ding, ding. The Patriots and Rams are in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Six playoff games the last couple weeks.
That's true.
6-0, hit every single stinking one of them, went 4-1 against the spread. And now there's one game left. So are we going to have a perfect NFL season from start to finish? What is good on South Carolina and all the ships at sea? You want to get in? 654-7627. 654-7627. You know, I'm glad that there's been a lot of chatter from NFL types about what an incredible defensive battle of wits it was. I think, you know, was that the game that we expected? No. But that's the nature of football. I mean, for example, I mean, I think games have ebbs and flows, and I think every game is different. And I think the same two teams can play one day and play a 13-3 type game and play the next week and play a 37-24 type game. I just don't think football works that way. And I thought both teams had absolutely brilliant defensive game plans. I mean, Belichick is being credited. Brian Flores needs more credit. He's the defensive play caller. But in addition to that, I mean, I thought the Wade Phillips game plan was nothing short of remarkable. I mean, I thought Phillips's plan for New England was perfect. You know, part of that thing in the open we didn't get to hear was that I had said that, you know, against Philadelphia last year, Brady carved them up pre-snap. And that's what people don't understand. I mean, most of what Brady's doing is not progressions, it's pre-snap. Because he knows he's got to get the ball out. And so, you know, he's making pre-snap diagnosis, and he's going with that. The Rams, the other part of that we didn't put in that open was, I talked about how the Rams would try and confuse him. Show him multiple looks, try and confuse him, and they did. The first thing the Rams did is they took away the Patriots' run game. Yeah, Sony Michel wound up with 94 yards, but a lot of it came at the end. A couple of nice runs early, but then for the vast majority of the game, the Rams totally stoned the Patriots' power run game. Totally took it away. And if you take that away, then which was what the game plan should have been, and then you mix up your coverages and you show Brady a lot of looks, you don't allow him to make the pre-snap decisions that he's made previously, then you're going to have some effectiveness. And that's what they did. Because, see, at that point, the game then switches to that group of receivers. And Edelman was the one guy who got open. Gronkowski made some plays. But if you notice, there's Zippo on the outside. Nothing. The Patriots have no outside receivers that can make a play. None. I mean, none. So if you were able to defend New England in that manner, then you knew that all you would have to deal with is this element. You can't take away everything, but the Rams nearly did. I mean, you know, the Patriots had over 400 yards of offense. They moved the ball. They had chances to sort of put the game away, which is why I think if the game had been played on a different day, I think the game would have been quite different. in terms of the way it was played out. I never expected 13-3. I never thought anybody could hold New England to 13 points. See, I think this is what we're missing. You're talking about the best offenses in football in an offensive era. I mean, we wound up with the four best offensive teams in the playoffs. The Patriots and Rams are elite, elite offenses. So if they get stopped, then you have to wake up and realize, well, that's defensive coaching. And that's what happened. Both teams, I thought, employed great defensive game plans. The Patriots basically put six guys at the line of scrimmage and dared the Rams to run the ball. They could not run the football. The Patriots played more zone than they normally play. They were going to confuse Goff. Look, I gave you the stat last week. There was no way the Rams would ever win this game. I'm sorry, there just wasn't. The Rams had no chance right from the beginning, none. None. It's not because they aren't any good. It's because they have a kid quarterback. And I believe that quarterbacks under 25 years of age, I said this last week, it was 25 before the Kansas City game. I believe that quarterbacks under 25 years of age are 0-27 against Belichick. 0-27. They were not going to win. They had no chance to win ever. Ever. And the Patriots had taken away the Chargers run game. They had taken away the Chiefs run game. The Rams were a more formidable run offense with their outside zone runs almost always to the left behind Whitworth and Saffold. But the Patriots were not going to let you do that. The Rams running game was basically outside zone left behind Saffold and Whitworth, and the Patriots knew that. I knew that sitting here. So they were not going to let you do that. They had not let anybody run the ball on them in the playoffs. And so the whole game was put on Goff. Well, Goff was sacked four times, hit 12 times. He had no chance. He had no chance. He actually made some pretty good throws late in that game when he led them down the field on that drive. But the Rams were never going to win this game. Never. Regardless of what the score was, the Rams were never going to win. They never had any chance to win. I mean, honestly, they were really fortunate that the game was 13-3. Because the game really could have been much uglier than that. Much uglier than that. I think we watched one of the great defensive battles of all time. You know, the game got to the end, and you knew who was going to win the game. You know, Brady has said numerous times, you know, in this, not that he mentions salary cap era, but in this salary cap era, you know, these games all go to the end. And you either make plays at the end or you don't. And he got the ball with whatever, however much time was left, and the crowd started chanting his name even, and he drove him right down the field. I mean, there are ex-NFL quarterbacks today saying that throw he made to Gronkowski may be the greatest throw of his career. Go watch it. It was. It was incredible. Incredible that he fit that ball in. Incredible. Now, did he play his best? No. No, but he still threw for over 260 yards and made the winning plays when they need to be made. And again, the Rams late in the year played to their defensive talent. I mean, you know, that team was loaded. As we also talked about last week, 7 round one draft picks on that defense. 7. 7. Now, did I ever imagine they were going to stop New England like they did? No. No. First of all, I didn't think they could take away New England's run to the degree they did. The Patriots tried running at Aaron Donald early. I thought the Rams really stood up. They really stoned the Patriots' power run game after that, and it became a game where there was just nothing available. Because, again, if you can't run the ball and you can't go play action, guess what? Those receivers are not getting separation. The only guy with any real chance to get separation is Edelman, and he did. But nothing to the outside, nothing from the outside receivers. I mean, zero. What I mean, nothing. I don't even think there was a ball completed to an outside receiver because they can't, I mean, just insanity thinking that a guy like Hogan was going to beat the talent of those DBs. I also thought the Rams, for the most part, tackled in the secondary better than they have all year. I guess that's a result of a Super Bowl situation. I thought we watched you know, again, I think the expectation issue is a part of it. You know, I had a lot of people last night and this morning tweet me saying it was a great defensive game. They loved it, but others hated it. I mean, others thought it was boring, whatever. I mean, if we're to the point where defense means boring, then I think we really have a problem in football. Did I expect that? No. I mean, I expected the outcome. I thought the Patriots would win easily, and they did. I mean, I think they could have won way more easily. You know, again, in those first half possessions, had they just kicked field goals, they should have been up 12-0. I thought the big play late in the half was the 4th-and-1 that the Patriots didn't convert, because they always put that ball in Brady's hand, and he's always so good in that situation. But the Rams made a play. There was nobody open, and the Rams made a play. You know, so I think that Brooks says Brady's on the backside of his career, but he's still the greatest. I'm not sure he is on the backside of his career. I'm not sure where you get that from. I'm not sure that you guys, that if you write that, you're watching the same thing I am. I mean, I watched the guy carve up the Chiefs, carve up the Chargers, lead a 75-yard drive in the last 2 minutes to retake the lead in Kansas City, and then do the same thing in overtime. You know, did he have a great statistical game? No, but he made the plays when the game came down to winning it. I mean, he still threw for over 260 yards. I thought the Patriots scheme in terms of what they did to Goff and McVay was brilliant. I thought Belichick had a great game plan, but I knew that was going to happen because you had Goff. There was no way Goff was beating Belichick. That's a bad matchup for the Rams. And that's really what it comes down to. There's no way a kid quarterback was beating that guy. It wasn't going to happen. And people are being too hypercritical of Goff today all over the world since that game ended last night. Goff had no help. He had zero running game. His coach didn't help him. His coach was outcoached. He admitted it. What was he going to do? He had no time to throw and basically had nobody open. He had no time to throw and nobody open. No running game, no time to throw and nobody open. That's a tough combination. That's a tough combination for a kid quarterback to succeed. It was a terrible matchup for the Rams. It just was. It was a terrible matchup. They were never going to win this game. I don't know why people thought the Rams had any chance. They didn't. Honestly, in watching the game, I really felt like I was watching like a 34-10 game. That just didn't play out that way. It felt like it was that kind of game. I mean, the first half, the Rams didn't move the ball at all. How many drives they have? Just pump, 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 pump. But the reason I think the Rams' defensive game plan and Wade Phillips' game plan was every bit as good as Belichick's, perhaps even better, was because they had to stop Brady. They didn't get the luxury of having to stop Goff. Man, I heard a national host last night, Ramona. He was talking about how he was trying to break down Brady and Belichick and their importance and just absolute insanity after admitting that he picked Goff as the MVP. Look, dude, if you pick Goff as the MVP of this game, don't talk after that. Don't say anything else. There was no way. Goff was like the least likely person on earth to be. Ramona had a better chance of being MVP of the game than Goff did, and Ramona didn't play. That just was not going to happen. That was not going to happen. The Rams were going to have trouble scoring against New England. That was a guarantee. The only question was, how would the Rams hold up? And they held up really well. Again, I thought the Rams' defense, and particularly in light of the offensive failures of their team, I thought held up remarkably well. Again, they surrendered yards, but they made plays. They made plays. And I thought Wade Phillips did a brilliant job. A brilliant job. Listen, if you can confuse and slow Tom Brady pre-snap, then you're doing something. And Wade Phillips was able to do that. To a large extent, was able to do that. Eventually, I think Brady figured some things out. But to a large extent, was able to do that. Right from the start of the game. Right from the start of the game. And so a year ago, what you saw was you saw Brady just decimate the Philadelphia Eagles, even without his top receiver, who they lost in the first quarter, Brandon Cooks. He threw for over 500 yards and just shredded them all game long. Shredded them. But he shredded them pre-snap. That did not work against the Rams. That did not work. They forced Brady to hold the ball. And the New England offensive line, which was credited with a lot of their run game success, did not perform well. The Rams won those battles up front. The Rams won those battles. And the New England power running game never got going, so he had no opportunity for play action. And it was hard for Brady to get the ball out of his hands quickly because of the multiple looks and the different looks the Rams were showing him. And because he had no guys on the outside who could get any separation. So I thought what you saw was one of the brilliant defensive game plans in the modern era in football history on both sides. And it resulted in a competitive game on the scoreboard. But whether you like the particular game or not is just up to you, is up to, you know, your subjective choice. But the best team won, and it just continues. I mean, we are watching something that no one will ever see again. These marks are being set. The only constants, look, Brady's never played with much talent. Never. Never. The only constants at New England, Brady and Belichick. Over 17, 18 years, the constants are Brady and Belichick. Everything else has changed. All the other guys, all the other players, all the other names, what hasn't changed is the winning. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break. We'll be back.
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Engineered Sleep is setting the bar high when it comes to President's Day. They're running a massive sale that begins on February 11th and goes until February 18th. You have one full week to take advantage of huge savings on Engineered Sleep's most popular mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows. If it's time for you to get a new mattress, then mark your calendars and go support your local mattress manufacturer. Engineered Sleep Showroom and Factory, 627 Congaree Road in Greenville.
Don't forget, the Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is a perfect location for wedding rehearsals, large groups, office parties, graduation parties, family reunions, and birthday celebrations. The Blue Heron can also take care of your catering needs. Locally owned and operated, the Blue Heron is proud to serve Tiger fans the finest steaks and freshest seafood around. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for menu and more information.
Coach Monty Lee and I have a lot in common. We both love Clemson baseball, and we both want you to make it home. Now, he may ask you to steal, but I'll help you walk through the process and find the home of your dreams. Call me today, Jana Candler, with the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway, Sedan Joiner Realtors, 864-313-6990. That's 864-313-6990. Putting the real in real estate. Go Tigers!
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
You know when you have about a billion things to do today, and then you realize you're out of whatever it is that you really need, and next day shipping isn't going to cut it because you really need it in like an hour. Yeah, that's when you turn to Office Depot Office Max. Buy what you need online at officedepot.com or on our app and pick it up in store for free in just 1 hour so you can get back to whatever else is lurking on your to-do list. And now save big at the Buy Two, Get One Free event. That's Buy Two, Get One Free at Office Depot Office Max. Offer expires February 9th, 2019.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Takes a snap. Here comes Clemson.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We're going to talk about elements of the game you want to get in. You're welcome to. And at some point, we'll address that hideous halftime fiasco. Worst I've ever seen. And, you know, I was glad everyone, when I wrote that on Twitter last night, tons of people retweeted it, including a ton of women who just hated it. I mean, it's
so
just
bad.
Oh,
huh?
It's just absolutely. I mean, it was like Mark Rick was performing at halftime. Just the worst flatliner performance ever. The only saving grace at all was Big Boy and the Cadillac. The rest of it was an absolute disaster. Maroon 5. I would rather be marooned for like a decade than have to see that guy and listen to that crap again. Good grief. I mean, that was a terrible choice. Everybody knew it. And it lived up to the expectation of being terrible.
Why in the world would they fix it? I don't even think they were even together anymore.
Well, they shouldn't be. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, you know, here's the thing. Normally when you go to halftime and you have a halftime show, you know, you have artists who have songs that the world recognizes.
Well, yeah.
Nobody recognizes any of this group's songs because it's not even like a real group. It's like a TV show guy. He judges amateur.
That's what I'm saying.
Singers.
I didn't think the group was together.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. Hopefully after last night, it won't be. You want to get in, though, 654-7627. Lots of things to get to. Oh, by the way, Ron. Dexter says Mark Rick, a much better singer than Levine. True. That's probably true. You know, here's the thing. The guy who bet the $1.5 million at William Hill?
Oh, yeah.
X gone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Put $1.5 million on the money line at William Hill and the Rams. Remember last week on Friday when we learned of that, I said, you know, that's like the dumbest move ever. I couldn't believe that anybody would bet on the Rams on a money line. I just couldn't believe it. It's so counterintuitive if you know what you're doing. And I said, well, we'll find out. I mean, maybe a guy who's betting $1.5 million knows something I don't. No. No, he didn't. He just lost his $1.5 million. $1.5 million. You know what you know about that guy, Ramona? You know that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He definitely has more than $1.5 million.
Right. The only guys who bet $1.5 million are when it's so much money, it's so little money to you that it's like $10 to the rest of us.
Right.
And you're just trying to act like a wheel. In other words, that guy doesn't need to bet anything. You know, he just wants to carry around a ticket that shows people that he bet $1.5 million until it loses. But then it probably doesn't matter. Threw it away.
After.
I think that it didn't go well. And maybe he realized that early on in the evening because he should have. I mean, but $1.5 million on the money line. Are you kidding me? On the Rams, on Goff against Belichick. 0-27 kid quarterbacks against Belichick. What would make you do that? It just never made any sense. You know what did make sense though, Ramona? Some guy at South Point some guy at South Point bet $250 at 400 to 1 that the Rams would score 3 points.
Really?
He bet $250 that the Rams would score 3 in the game. The Rams scored 3. He collected $100,000.
Now see, $250 is not bad to lose if you lose a bet.
$100,000.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I had this thought. Now, if some of you people do this next year, remember who gave you the advice. If some of you people do this next year, remember who gave you the advice. I'm thinking that this guy scammed the system.
What, this 250, 401 odd guy?
Yeah. I'm thinking that he bet every number. Now, I don't know this for a fact. All I know is he bet 250 at 400 to 1 odds to win $100,000.
Right.
That the Rams would score 3.
Right.
All right. Now, obviously, 3 is a really low number, and if you go higher, the payout would not be as significant. But what if he bet them all? What if he bet all of the point totals, at least all of the conventional methodologies for scoring?
Right.
In other words, he picked
250 on them scoring, right, 7, 3, and 6, 14, 7, like that.
Yeah. 9, yeah, 14, right, 17, 20, 21, up to, say, 27. What if he did that? So the bottom line is it would have cost him like $5,000, and he was going to, if almost like regardless of what he hit, even if it was one of those higher numbers, which was that the odds would not have been 400 to 1 on, he was still easily going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, that's
now,
true.
Now, I haven't done the math. I don't know what the odds were on those higher numbers, so I really can't without spending a ton of time researching it, which I'm not inclined to do. But my point is, did this guy figure out a way to beat the system?
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, a way that Katesha just wrote, holy crap, I didn't even think of that.
It makes total sense. He could spend $5,000 and win $100,000.
Right. I started thinking about it afterward. I read the article, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Did this guy really just make that one play on 3, which seems unlikely, or did he put 250 on every scoring number for the Rams from like 3 to 27, assuming that the Rams would score in that range or maybe even a little higher? I don't know.
That's a good idea.
But if he did, he may have gamed the system, because it seems unlikely to me that somebody would have just randomly picked the number 3 and put $250 on it, because the odds of that happening were like next to nothing. And can you imagine, by the way, you know, Zerline had a 43, 44 yard field goal to try and turn that number to 6 with like 5 seconds left. And that guy must have been sweating that out, because he had $100,000 on the line. Had that kick gone in, he was out. The kick missed. But I'm thinking that that guy may have actually been smart enough to steam clean the system by putting
That is a good idea
on every scoring number. And then again, let's say that he had 250 on 17. Right, I'm sure 17, the payout would not have been 400 to 1. The payout would have been significantly less than that. All right, but let's say it was 100 to 1 instead of 400 to 1. All right, on that particular number, whatever it was, he was still going to make a ton of money by covering his bases. And then the ultimate hit for him is that the long shot hit, the 3 hit. Regardless, the guy bet $250, maybe more, and came away with $100,000. Not a bad day's work. Nice little plan. I like this plan. I thought it was a brilliant defensive game plan. You know, it's funny because, as I mentioned, I kept watching thinking, you know, it's funny. How will this game change if the Rams score? You know, because it's funny the way it works. You know, you when you're involved in a defensive battle and no one is scoring, it's like everybody plays it close to the vest. It's like, you know, you're locked in it. And so you don't want to take any chances. You don't want to make any mistakes. You don't want to turn it over and give the other team the lead. You don't want to do any of that. But you just wonder, had the Rams ever scratched, did the Rams ever put a touchdown on the board, how the game would have changed? Because I'm almost 100% convinced that Brady then would have responded and drove it down and got a touchdown. I just think we watched sort of an anomaly. I mean, we're in this insane offensive era of football where we wound up with the four greatest offensive teams in the game in the two championship games. In the championship game, we wind up with these two incredibly powerful offenses who've been just crushing people. I mean, the Patriots had snapped it 172 times. Texas said, you're right. Single bet people don't bet 250. He wasn't sweating the field goal. He had the six ticket too. Right. See, I'm thinking that's what happened. I'm thinking that he played all of those numbers. And I don't know if we'll ever get that information, but that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking happened. But I kept thinking that there may be a point where the game takes off, where one team scores and then the other will score, and then you'll get some offense going, but it basically never happened. It was a game that tensions were high. It was played close to the vest. You know, the Rams had some chances, even though they didn't really deserve them. But after the Patriots, after Brady engineered that drive with those three really incredible touch throws, and Sony Michel scored to finally put a touchdown on the board, the Rams responded with a good drive. They drove down the field. Goff played well. He threw the ball really well on that drive. He got him in position. I mean, let's be honest. Brandon Cooks sort of dropped the would-be touchdown pass. I mean, that ball probably should have been caught. And so here's what you wind up with. You wind up with... Let me get my notes on that page. And of course, now I can't find that page. You wind up with, I think it was 2nd and 10 with 4 minutes left. 2nd and 10, 4 minutes left. And the Rams are, you know, down near the 30-yard line. On that play, New England goes zero coverage. I don't think the Rams expected that. The Rams had a three wide receiver set. And they're looking for that deep shot again. The Patriots go zero coverage. They get pressure in Goff's face. This is the interception. This is the interception that basically ended the game by Stephon Gilmore, who, by the way, played brilliantly. And so when you look at that sequence, the Pats go zero coverage and they pressure Goff. But I watched that play again. I watched it from the quarterback's angle from behind. By the way, Tess says, play all the numbers, you probably break even. Nerds in Vegas have to have figured that out. I don't know. I'm not sure. And I'm not saying play all the numbers. I'm saying play the football numbers. I'm not sure. I don't know what the odds were. I think the odds are going to be in the bettor's favor to pick any individual number, because no individual number is likely to occur. So the odds are going to be heavily in the bettor's favor, not 400-1 heavily as three was, as I already indicated. In any case, you watch that play, the Goff through the interception to Gilmore, and if you actually watch it, no one has said this. No one. No one on television said it. I've not seen anybody say it or hear anybody say it anywhere. I didn't see it until this morning when I was watching replays of the end of the game. Watch what happens to Goff's feet on that throw that Gilmore intercepted. His feet slide right out from under him. He almost falls down. He was under duress, but he had time to sit there and throw. Now, look, he had absorbed a lot of shots. He had been sacked 4 times. He had been hit 12 times. He had absorbed a lot of shots. But on that particular throw to Gilmore, when he tries to set, his feet slide, and he is actually falling down as he throws that football. And it's nothing that we saw from the original angles. But I saw it this morning when I saw new angles on that play. I saw that throw from behind somewhere. I don't know what side I was on or where I saw it, but I saw that throw from behind. If you go look for that throw from that angle, you'll see his feet actually slip out from under him, and he's already releasing the ball. So he has nothing on the ball, and that's why you get that lollipop that Gilmore picked. Let me tell you about Carson's Steak Warehouse and Saloon. Carson's is your place for a quick lunch, creating a special occasion, or if you just want an incredible dinner. Hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher, fresh-baked geese rolls. By the way, my text says, I saw it. Fresh-baked geese rolls, grilled teriyaki salmon, fresh strawberry shortcake, double-fried chicken wings, open every day. Happy hour Monday to Saturday, 4 to 8. Discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Don't forget the chili cheese fries. Try the golden fried catfish sandwich, filet mignon, or smoked ribs. Carson's is also accepting reservations in their large private dining room for social and corporate events, family or school reunions. Book your reservation today. They handle the rest. View their full menu online. CarsonSteakWarehouse.net, 226-9400, 226-9400. Hey, Ramona, the Southern Miss is considering hiring Art Briles as an offensive coordinator.
No.
Yeah, in my trending column today, it's probably a little disturbing that Art Briles is trending over Rosa Parks. Walter Petula, Road Rage, quick break.
Join Kwok and Kelly live on location at Dominion Senior Living at Patrick Square Thursday, February 7th from 9 to 12 to kick off their grand opening celebration. Enjoy free Papa John's pizza and enter to win prizes. 100 Pershing Avenue, Patrick Square in Clemson.
Fried chicken just like Mama makes. Seafood platters and fresh fried oysters. Not to mention our famous lizard dinner. No kidding. Who serves up all this deliciousness? The Chicken Basket. 226-3242, Highway 24 in Anderson.
Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville is the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. It's your local source for sports on wall-to-wall TVs and the most scenic views in the market. Everything on this fan favorite menu is made from scratch and guaranteed to please. Pair the new Nashville hot chicken sandwich with a local market brew served at a frosty 29 degrees by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl. Located on Woodruff Road in Greenville, Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get more done. Like the AutoZone Rewards Program. Sign up is free, and members get a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. And if your headlights need to be replaced, now's the time to do the job. New headlights help boost visibility, which means you'll be driving safer, even in the toughest conditions. For all things headlights, head to AutoZone. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Commemorate the Tigers' historical football season with Tiger Times National Championship Magazine entitled A Run of Dominance. You don't want to miss out on this collector's edition with the superb quality you've come to know and trust for 17 years. Order your piece of history at tigertime.net or pick up your copy at Walmart, Walgreens, Philo, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Clemson Apparel Shops. Use coupon code TIGERTIME to receive a special discount on tigertime.net when you purchase the combo pack of the 2019 National Championship and 2018 Season Fall Edition. Go Tigers!
Cars cost less than travelers rest at George Coleman Ford, and it's never been more true than February. This month, George Coleman Ford will meet or beat any documented out-the-door price from any upstate dealer. You heard me right. Any new car, truck, SUV, George Coleman Ford will meet or beat any dealer's price. See my friends at George Coleman Ford in Travelers Rest and save big. Applies only to in-stock inventory, offers within 5 business days, price matches before applicable rebates.
Have you been thinking about your goals for 2019? If you're ready to feel great about your health, your outlook, and your family, the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville is ready to make this your best year ever. Your membership includes fun fitness programs, top-of-the-line equipment, year-round swimming, and free child watch while you work out. There's even a life-changing program called The Journey, led by experienced wellness coaches. Just as important, when you're at the Y, you're among friends. Call today to set up a tour to see why the YMCA offers so much more for your membership. For locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville. Join the YMCA today. New members pay nothing until February. And remember, your Y membership gives you access to all three facilities. Again, for locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
And we'll keep it himself from right side, get to the numbers. Crosses the 25, across the 20, on his feet, to the 15-yard line goes Chase Rice. Hello, number 7.
We are WCCP, 105.5 The Roar.
From the devil, keep a super suit like I'm incredible. From the deep blue sea to the dark blue sky.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're going to be a CCP 105.5. The Roar, you want in, now's a good time. 654-7627. Joe, you were worried about that Patriots defense. How about now? Look, the signs were there. The signs were there for both of these defenses coming along. I mean, the Rams had held opponents to 18 a game. With Aqib Talib back, they were looking like a different team. They were stoning the run game. The Patriots defense had obviously stepped up, had shut out the Chiefs in the first half in Arrowhead. So I think there was reason to think that, again, and don't get me wrong, in no way did I anticipate 13-3. No, I anticipated like mid-30s to 17 or 20 or something. I thought the Patriots were going to win the game easily, which they did. It just was a completely different type of game than I imagined. But as I said, you know, look, I think if you watch sort of the game within the game, the Patriots had their chance to score 30 points. In fact, you know, I'll bet you they believe today that they probably should have. But they didn't. I think you just have to credit the Rams. I thought when you're talking about two of the best offenses in football and the defenses dominate the whole game, then you're talking about brilliant defensive game planning. And I think that's what we saw. I think we saw the most brilliant defensive game plan executed on both sides in the modern era of football. I guess what we saw. And I appreciate it for what it was. I mean, I thought both teams defensively had a brilliant plan to deal with the other. Brilliant. Texter says, I picked New England. Belichick versus Goff was a huge mismatch. Exactly. It was. There was no way they were winning that. Impossible. Impossible. So the Rams had no chance. I don't understand. I heard a ton of people picking the Rams. I never understood it. Granted, you know, it's a football game and go either way, but you cannot take McVay versus Belichick and you cannot take Goff versus Brady. I'm sorry. Forget all the X's and O's that we talked about last week and the in-depth that we went in a breakdown on Friday. The game still comes down to players and coaching. And there was no way they were going to win those matchups. They just weren't. And they didn't. And they lost. And they'll be back. Again, I think what's unfortunate now is the hyper-criticism of Goff. I don't know how Goff was expected to win that game. I mean, he's a kid against Belichick. That's just what he is. He's a kid. He's way over his head. I mean, he's over his head to even be there. And he had no running game. Whatever, God knows what's going on with Gurley. Who knows what's going on with Gurley? But he had no running game. The Patriots put six guys on the line of scrimmage. They're not going to let him run the football at all. So you can forget that. And they didn't run it at all. And so the whole game gets put on Goff. And now the Patriots are showing him all sorts of looks on the back end. They've been primarily a man coverage. In fact, they played more man coverage than any other team in the NFL. But in this game, they played more zone. And they're showing him lots of different things. Lots of different looks. Okay, so now I'm a kid quarterback. I'm in the Super Bowl. I have no running game. I'm going against Belichick, who's totally taken away my run. I don't have any open receivers because nobody's getting any separation. I'm getting looks that are confusing him, and the clock is ticking. So now I'm taking four sacks with the Patriots running these stunts and games up front. Hey, did we tell you the Patriots would attack the middle of that defensive, that offensive line? Because Sullivan, the center, and the right guard aren't any good in pass protection. And they did. They did. And so Goff was sacked four times. He was hit 12 times. And yet, you know, now he's taking criticism. I have a newsflash. There's not a young quarterback in the game who would have succeeded in that situation last night. None. None. I mean, by and large, Patrick Mahomes didn't succeed at home against him. You know, and maybe that's the sign, too. The mighty Kansas City Chiefs offense playing at home put up 290 yards. Didn't even get to 300 yards against New England. And so what was poor Jared Goff going to do? I thought it was a fascinating game. It wasn't exciting if you're looking for offense. It wasn't exciting if you're looking for offense. But it really was a good football game. If you're a purist and you understand what you saw and you understand the defensive game plan that both teams initiated and were able to successfully carry out. I thought it was, again, not what I expected, but I thought it was interesting. Again, the Rams had 260 yards of total offense. They had no run game. Goff had, I think, 200 and what do you have? 220 yards passing, which actually wasn't bad considering what he was up against. And as I said, I thought in that last drive, I thought he made some real quality throws that just weren't rewarded in a payout at the end. And that texter, Ramona. Dexter, where'd it go? 561. In any case, here it is. He said he saw it. He said, I thought it was such a duck. I thought he got hit. And then he went and apparently saw the replay and he saw what I'm talking about. If you watch it, Goff's feet slipped right out from under him. And he was already in the process of throwing the ball. So really, it was sort of just a freaky element of fate that probably led to that interception because Goff did not plant successfully. So there's that. Texter asks, was last night subpar because of the amazing games the last 2 years? Yeah, I think so. I think that's in big part what it was. I mean, you had a freakish performance 2 years ago, and then last year you had an incredible offensive shootout for the ages. Neither team could stop the other. Last team with the ball kind of stuff, though ultimately Brady was stripped on that last possession and fumbled the ball. But yeah, I think in large part that's what it was. I think it's we always compare things to what we saw last. And again, nobody expected this. The total in this game was like 57. 57, 58, whatever it wound up at. That's extremely high total for an NFL game. So that was the expectation. And again, if they were to play this game next Sunday, I think it'd be a different game. I think the defenses would still perform really well. I think the Rams would still have trouble moving and scoring the ball. But I think the Patriots would be more successful offensively because they had the yardage that would suggest more points. My sort of thought process on it is if you played it over, the Patriots probably win like 30 to 10, something in that range. Because I felt like that's the game I watched. I felt like I sort of watched a 30 to 10 game that just didn't turn out that way. I thought the game could have resulted in that score. And of course, people wouldn't have been any happier with that. Had it been 30 to 10, they wouldn't have been any happier with that. But I thought it was, an interesting game, and both defensive game plans were absolutely brilliant. Here's another thing. The Patriots did a great job. They have done a great job doing this of taking away your third receiver and a lot of those swing passes. And at the line of scrimmage, if you watch New England, a lot of these third receivers, they're not even letting them get off the line of scrimmage. They are cutting them down at the line of scrimmage. And that's another thing that Goff faced. He faced the fact that he didn't have as many receivers in the patterns as he would have liked, because in large part, the Patriots were taking away one of those guys on almost every situation. Blake and Liberty didn't like it, thinks that the Rams didn't belong on the field. It should have been the Saints. Oh, no. Good grief. No. Come on, please. The Saints were outplayed by the Rams at home. Let's stop that. All right. I don't want to hear any Saints talk today. No. You know what? Just stop with the Saints stuff. The Saints got outplayed at home by the Rams. Outgained, outplayed in their own building. Saints had no business being there. The Rams were the better football team. They just weren't good enough to beat New England. And look, the fact is, New England would have crushed the Saints. I mean, if people didn't like this one, trust me, they wouldn't have liked 40-10 New England over New Orleans, because that's what that game would have been. Concrete Kevin. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Walt, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Kevin, appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I just got to give you this little tidbit. So when Ramona answered the phone, I was like, so what'd you think about the game? And she's like, oh, I didn't watch it. And I'm like, what? And she's like, no, I just come to work and hear all about it. And she's like, yeah, I'm probably the only one in America, right? And I'm like, no, but you're definitely the only, like, producer on a sports radio show in America that didn't watch it, you know? So, yeah, shout out. Hey, man, definitely you had a two-score game. I had a two-score game on it. Did not see it coming. And really the only reason I'm getting in is it played out. It was pretty anticlimactic. I think anyone with any type of rationale realized that the Patriots were a better team and Belichick was going to dominate as far as defensively. I'm very, very impressed by Wade Phillips and the effort that the Rams defense put in. That game could have easily gotten out of control early, but it didn't. One thing that not a lot of folks mention or ever give credit to was the special teams play. I thought
it was unbelievable.
Last night,
punters were unbelievable.
Last night's special team play was freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And actually, I tweeted out, and I can't even think of the guy's name because I had to look it up. But the punter, was it Adam, the Patriots punter?
Yeah.
I can't even think of the guy's name.
I thought Hecker was great, too. Hecker, you know.
Oh, dude.
And quite honestly, I thought that as good of a game as Edelman played as Brady's prime receiving target, I thought Edelman really let some punts bounce that he normally would have fielded and gave away a lot of hidden yards that in that type of game were very important. It's why I'm really not sure he should have been the MVP.
I'm with you there on the one point that ended up making history at the 65-yard
line. Yeah, that one, but he did it.
I think it traveled, what, like 27, 29 yards in the air?
Right, he did that several times. Now, you know, it's hard to tell from a television angle exactly how far Edelman would have gone to field that ball. But, you know, remember, I think what happened here is that Edelman was leery after the Kansas City bounce. Remember the play that was so close to touching his hand? I think that made him a little leery, a little gun shy, because normally he steps up and fields those balls that are bouncing even, and he let almost every one of those balls bounce. And multiple times, the Patriots had pinned – Patriots punt game had pinned the Rams deep near their goal line. The Rams were punting from deep in their territory, and multiple times in the game, Edelman let the ball bounce, and those bounces took it all the way back to the New England 30. And in a game that was so field position oriented, I really thought Edelman hurt his team several times by not fielding those punts.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And normally, had it not been for that Kansas City, which had to go to the replay, normally Edelman would have come running in like a little picked off Scottish William Wallace warrior, like, run! He'd go grab it, run it up, man.
Right.
But it didn't happen. And it was a weird dichotomy as far as numbers. The first punt was 54 yards by Rams. The second was 27. The third was 54. And then you had like the 27 or 29 yarder that went 65, but either way, I mean, I thought both special teams really, really stepped up. And then I want to actually give a shout-out to, you know, any Gamecock listeners, Gamecock fans, because Gilmore kind of sealed the deal. And I think that's the last time Gamecocks, or the first time a Gamecock has contributed in winning a championship since, like, the ACC back in the 60s. So good job with that one, guys.
Thank you, Concrete Kevin. Appreciate the call. You know, obviously Gilmore made a game-saving type play. We already indicated what happened with Goff on the play. But, you know, look, Gilmore was great for the Patriots all year. I mean, he was probably the best DB cornerback in football all season long. And, you know, that's the talent that I saw when he came out in the draft. I mean, we talked about it then. He was, and with New England, he's fulfilled his full potential. I mean, I saw Pro Football Focus numbers today that said he led the league in man coverage and lowest completion percentage allowed. I think it was like 34% or something of that sort. So Stephon Gilmore had a great year and topped it up with a big-time play. Walter Petillo, Road Rage, quick break.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP Clemson Greenville. 1055 The Roar.
It's boat time at Bojangles. Get your choice of a four-piece chicken supreme snack or a two-piece chicken dinner for $3.99 each. That's a four-piece supreme snack or a two-piece dinner, just $3.99 each for a limited time. Bojangles, it's boat time.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive